There's one for Pete Fornatale. Where is he? Where's Pete?
I should be here.
There you go.
Steve, can you hear me?
I can.
I can hear the Libertines. I can hear you. I'm very happy. I'm getting going now this morning.
How about that? Some Libertines on this Wednesday. I love it. And obviously you do too.
It's great stuff. I was wondering, is it too early? Will it be next week that I get to come into Christmas music?
Yes.
I wasn't sure when you start that. It's one of those things where technically to me it's acceptable. It is the month of December. Thanksgiving has happened. And that's all Perrin wants to listen to already. But I wasn't, you know, it still feels a little early to me. But I'm so happy she's gotten into this task. The last few years, she and I have done guest spots on the Mixed Bag radio show, my father's old radio show, now run by his handpicked successor over at WFUV, our family friend Don McGee. And Perrin's gotten really into the chore of choosing the three or four songs we'll play in our little 15-minute segment on there. So I'm trying to encourage her to get a little more creative than just the old Jingle Bells Frosty. Last year, she came up with some good ones. We had, in fact, a song she heard, Steve, from you when we did our Christmas show a few years ago, the Sixpence None the Richer, which is what's the Christmas song that they do that's so good? Do you know off the top of your head?
Oh, my gosh. And it is really good. And it's
so good. And I'm spacing on the name, unfortunately. she heard that and loved that. And we went with it. So we're gonna, you know, we're looking this year to continue the tradition and look for some more tunes. So I'm ready for Christmas music, but you know, can't stand me now. I'm not going to be complaining about that.
Angels Heard on High.
Yes, it's so good. So we may have to rerun that one this year on the show. Another good one from last year from a very fun cartoon she watches on Netflix called Spirit. We did a great Sean Colvin version of a hymn, which is, this is unbelievable, Steve. The way my memory is failing me at the moment, but we're going to come up with a whole bunch of Christmas tunes. I assume you have yours all teed up and ready to go.
We do, and it's actually the treasury that we've assembled has gotten to be problematic because we literally are up to about 50, and there, you know, over the next 3 weeks, you know, starting next Monday, before we go on break, it isn't even that long, actually. It's less than 3 weeks of before breaking. We're going to run out of racetrack, and there's going to be some ones
that.
Something. I'm going to have to take. I won't be able to go without breaks because there's just so many that people have come. I mean, to expect to hear because they don't. Well, they don't hear it anywhere else but on our show.
You're not going to be walking through the mall and hearing Christmas Time in Jail. You know, or Christmas in Jail. It's not going to happen. In the bleak midwinter is the Colvin tune. It's, you know, obviously it's traditional, but her version of that is great. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. You let me know. I mean, I still feel like the one we recorded a couple of years ago is pretty fresh, but if you want to get ambitious, I'm game, and I have a little 6-year-old helper to come up with some tunes for us too.
Well, and it'll certainly get played probably on Christmas Eve and then replayed on Christmas morning, our special from now 2 years ago, because it's too good to waste. But you're right. The Jive Turkeys, Get Down Santa, Electric Jungle, Funky Funky Christmas, The Future Heads, Christmas Was Better in the 80s, which is a riot. We got so many. Clyde Lasley, Santa Come Home, Santa Came Home Drunk.
That's
one of my favorites. Too Crazy. And then, of course, Sharon Jones. I also discovered the Hoodoo Gurus, the Australian, you know,
I know the band, but I don't know their Christmas material. What do they do?
Little Drummer Boy,
oh,
Little
nice.
Drummer Boy version, which is terrific. And I went to my Australian go-to, went to Brian Lynch and asked Lynchy. I sent him a text, a hoodoo gurus in question mark. And he said, oh my God. Yeah. He said, you gotta roll up a doobie with them, with them boys. He said, he was so great. And, because I had never heard of them, but they're a punk surf. They're the surf punk genre.
I heard of them from the 80s, WLIR for sure. You know, when I couldn't listen to LIR when my dad was around. He'd get a little upset I wasn't supporting the home team. But, you know, if he was like out getting a loaf of bread or something, I could turn down the other end of the dial and check out some of the new wave acts. And that was, they were among them for sure.
Well, we've got them. We got them all, and they'll start rolling out, I think, on Monday when they'll be in Arizona, actually. It won't feel too Christmassy, but we will get to them. And I'm just thumbing through my list, stuff that we discovered over the years. Santa Dunn Got Hip by the Marquees.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's
love
awesome.
It, right? Little
particularly
Milton.
Particularly good.
Lonesome Christmas. James Brown, Soulful Christmas, kind of underknown.
Oh, he has a wealth of underappreciated Christmas material. That whole record is great. That'll get a spin. Actually, funny enough, I just looked over to the vinyl, and the first thing I saw was the Phil Spector Christmas album, which is one you will hear out there in the world. Maybe not one that, you know, we need to share with people because you still hear it so much, but one that will definitely be stuck to the turntable for at least half a day at some point this holiday season. I think I have Christmas on the brain, Steve, because we took Karen last night to see the Radio City show.
Oh, nice.
I had originally, and I copped to this on Twitter, I had been, my first reaction upon hearing that I, too, was going to the show was, oh, you got a ticket for me, huh? And I was a total Scrooge moment, and I have come to except that, you know, anytime you're doing things with, first of all, it just in its sheer, you know, grandiosity, only kind of that like vaudevillian really type, you know, vaudevillian isn't quite right, but variety type show. It's just sort of the last of its kind. It's in this amazing theater. And then you get the chance to see it through the eyes of a 6-year-old with the 3D glasses on, grabbing at the presents floating in her face. It was an absolute blast, and I feel bad for my initial reaction being cynical about it.
No, it's wonderful. I haven't. In fact, I asked Tina the other day. I said, "Do you want to go see the Christmas show, the Rockettes?" And she said she lit up. She lit up like a Christmas tree. And so I think I think we're going to probably sneak one in, sneak a trip in.
I love it
as well, and. So that it's funny you bring it up. For those that
multiple
have never
shows
been,
a day, you can probably great. Pair it with yeah. a trip to Aqueduct. You can probably make all the magic happen.
Exactly right. Nothing goes better than the Rockettes, you know, and a trip out to Ozone Park. They just.
I was wearing my Aqueduct winter cap. Actually, one of my favorite Naira giveaways of all time: the little Aqueduct winter cap. I may have been the only one in the place without. Instead of the Santa cap they were giving away, I proudly represented the big guy.
Well, and that is that. When I got a bunch of those to send out as prizes for Derby Trail and for the show, people loved it. In fact, I got requests. Do you have any more Aqueduct skull caps left? And I did. They should bring that back. You're right. That was a killer.
That is a good promotion for sure.
If you haven't ever been, if you can't go to the Christmas show, if you only come to New York in spring, they also do the Easter. There's also the Easter spring banana, you know, extravaganza. So that's an option too. But the Christmas pageant, and my father took me and my brother. We would go not every year, but I must have seen 4 or 5 of them growing up. I think I went one time in the last maybe 15, I don't know, maybe a little, maybe probably my last time I was living in Manhattan, which would be the late 80s, you know, sort
I'm
of
eager
the,
to hear your review of the new version. The other thing that I really, the Living Nativities is awesome. I'm glad to see they've got, I think that was.
It can't be better. It can't be better than, yeah. It can't be better than Larry David's Living Nativity. That's that is the funniest Larry David. It's funnier than any Seinfeld episode. Is the Living Nativity and eating the Christmas cookies, the Nativity cookies because he thought they were animal crackers. It's about as good as it gets.
He's a man is a genius. We've been talking about him a lot for various random reasons. We've been talking about him a lot over on the other show, and you'll get no argument from me and JK when it comes to comic genius of Larry David.
Unbelievable! I interrupted you, but when you said Living Nativity, that I had to jump at that.
Happy to see it back in full force. I feel like it was one of these things in sort of a like very misguided way under like. Pressure for a little while, probably some of the same nuts that, you know, want to get rid of horse racing didn't like the idea that the camel living backstage at Radio City or whatever it was. But I can assure you the camels, they were in fine fettle. The Living Nativity was a big hit with children of all ages, including myself.
Something akin to, you know, the old days of the circus, and I love the circus, and you know, there'd be the big top show, but then you'd go down in the basement of Madison Square Garden, and there was the menagerie that you could walk through. You remember that?
The best was how they'd get the elephants in and out of the city. They would walk them through the tunnel, and if you figured out when that was going to happen, you could actually see an elephant walking on the streets of the city. Something even the diehard New Yorkers, many of them can't ever say they did. So it was quite a tradition. It lives on a little bit, in a little minor way, at Radio City Musical.
I love it. Well, as always, we never know where these conversations are going. The straight into the lumberyard.
We do have some contest news. Yeah,
that's
we had
right.
Hawthorne last week.
That's right.
And we have some regular listeners to this show, and also to the In the Money shows. Eric Bylick punched his seat for Las Vegas, which I'm very excited about having him back. He is in the running. I think there actually might be one person younger who is now qualified five times for Las Vegas, and that might be Pat Stitch. But Eric Bylick, very much in that conversation. He took a year off last year, but got the job done at Hawthorne. I haven't talked to him yet about how he did it. I think that might be a good story for the podcast at some point. And I'm searching now to get the full array. I have one of the days of qualifiers that John Walsh was kind enough to send me. So I can run down the list. It's one of those leaderboards. It's you can't really follow it in real time because it puts, for whatever technical tote reasons, it puts numbers up there instead of names. But John was kind enough to send me some results. But I was very happy to see Eric back there. He's the kind of player that racing, you know, we always talk about needing the young analytical mind. I stand by this idea that contests are just a great way of getting those kind of players who have jobs and they don't have a ton of disposable income. But you know, the NHC, whatever you want to say about it, it's a really fun experience and something to shoot for if you're a casual player to come out there and have a great weekend in Vegas. And I'm really looking forward to it. And I think there were five different players who ended up winning their way in. I'm just trying to find this. I know I have this thing from John here somewhere, and I will dig it up. Maybe in the meantime, there's something time sensitive we have to talk about in terms of what's coming up.
Naira. Got the Naira.
Yes. They close this contest, and it's a great opportunity because there's money added. It's a low buy-in. And it's a limited field. So it's a sort of a double whammy where they're limiting the size of the field and then additionally adding money to the prize pool. And it closes early. I think it's Thursday at 5. But if you go over to the Naira website. You can get yourself signed up there. If you're in a Naira bet state, you really should be playing in this one, because it's a fantastic opportunity, and shaping up to be a really good day of racing as well. Have you been doing any coverage so far, Steve, on what's lining up to be going on?
Yeah, I mean, I had Andy yesterday, of course, and we just kind of looking ahead, and we're also getting some of the 2 year olds, and actually Mike Stidham today with an added runner for the Gopher Wand. It should be very good, and I'm going to be, unfortunately, I'll be out west. I've got Arizona next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but going to the Futurity Starlet Saturday at Los Al. And
it's not bad.
Not bad at all. That's true. But there was a couple of reasons to go down for this. At Aqueduct on Saturday. In fact, we may run Saturday. We're running Friday, but we may run Saturday as well. So I will watch from afar.
I do have that list in front of me. 6 NHC qualifiers from Hawthorne: Mark Odorizio, Rich Milzark, Tom Walsh, Steve Simonovic, who finished in the final table at the NHC last year. I think he came over and spoke to us at the ballroom for a minute. The aforementioned Eric Bilek and Toronto area player Sheldon Silver. So there's the 6 from Hawthorne. Going to have some more winners to talk about from this Aqueduct contest on Saturday. Again, I love to reward. I want them to sell out for sure. When they may be doing this smart thing of seeding the prize pool to reduce the takeout, it's just a terrific opportunity. Hopefully we can talk about the Aqueduct contest next weekend on these or next week on these very airwaves.
Excellent. And since we're on this topic, and I didn't bring it up with Andy yesterday, it's the Toys for Tots push on Saturday as well. Bring a unwrapped toy to Aqueduct for the Toys for Tots collection. They've been doing it for decades upon decades. And there's also, I didn't realize it was going to be on Saturday, but they're going to force out the Empire 6 on Saturday.
Yes, I did hear something about that. And another reason you're going to want to play. I don't know what that's built up to, but as we've talked about with those with this bet, whatever, regardless of how you feel about it in general, the opportunity to play when
force
all that money's going to be coming back out, you got to do it.
It's up to $520,000 as of tomorrow. So figure assuming no surprises Thursday, Friday, and no sequence of crazy winners, but be 600,000 and change, and probably another 3 million bet into it. So
holed up in the Brooklyn bunker playing Aqueduct on Saturday, or I'll get out there one or the other. Just depends on how life is treating you. But I'm excited for the card. I'm excited for the contest, and it'll be one of. I don't typically play a ton in December, though. Gosh, I have done. I look at records. I do pretty well at Aqueduct in December, but it's just life getting in the way, and as it projects to do again this year. But this is a day not to be missed, and I'm actually really looking forward. After this force out, we're going to have a really good amount of data at that point. We'll have had 2 force outs at Aqueduct. We'll have had 1 at Belmont and the 2 at Saratoga. And I'm really looking forward to sitting down with numbers and John Camardo, our self-professed data nerd over at the In the Money podcast, and maybe doing a little bit of a write-up on the economics of this pick 6. And I'm going to go in with an open mind and just look at these numbers compared to comparable numbers from years past and see if there aren't any interesting conclusions to be drawn one way or another.
Well, and let me give you a couple of other venues and notable weekend opportunities. 2 seats to be awarded Saturday at Lone Star. It's the $500 last chance. So Lone Star, Mohegan Sun on Saturday. there in Uncasville. And two seats for Mohegan Sun. Capital OTB has got the Saturday one, Sunday one as well. We'll talk to Seth Merrow shortly, and Seth will probably give that a push. And then the usual opportunities at horsetourneys.com and horseplayers.com. But Lone Star for the Texan types that are close by, and casino goers in rural Connecticut at Mohegan Sun.
I'm sure there'll be people making the trip up from the city. I remember in past years having some city area qualifiers at those Mohegan Sun tournaments. I was invited to go to that, and it sounds fun, but again, it's just so hard with everything going on family-wise and holiday-wise at this time of year. I'll get there eventually, though. I hear they do a good job with their contest at Mohegan Sun.
Well, Pete, I appreciate it, and starting the big wind down. I gotta get my ducks in a row here. I haven't looked really beyond this weekend and beyond the trip to Arizona, but boy, it looks to me like we're gonna wrap up on the 20th. So got a couple more weeks of conversation to close out 2019.
Sounds great. So happy to be a part of it, Steve. And let me know if you want any additional musical content.
All right.
Your man.
No doubt. And we'll see. We'll see how the when I as soon as I get back from the trip, I think the kitchen situation has really been instrumental in keeping me off balance here. Got to be honest. I mean, washing dishes in the bathtub and Thanksgiving, and the water was reestablished yesterday. So we are no longer Little House on the Prairie. We got interior plumbing for the dishwasher and the sink as of yesterday. So we're inching forward. By the time we were hoping for Thanksgiving, but we'll settle for Christmas to be fully functional in the kitchen.
It's important here. That's the center. If your house, which I know is like my
yes.
house, it's a center. And when that's unmoored, all kinds of chaos tends to.
I love it, Pete. Be well. We'll watch for the action at the In the Money Players podcast, and we will talk next week.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much.
Pete Fornatale looms boldly, everybody, and in the money, he and Jonathan, always with interesting analysis. They've got from every, literally, previewing, and then they got their Red Board review, and doing a little bit of everything, and doing a great job with it. And you can go back and listen to any and all of their conversations. In addition to Seth Merrow for a visit, Chip Bock, as promised early in the show, that we would get a Turfway seasonal kickoff visit in, and Chip is going to join us next. Stay with us. Seth Merrow to close out what's been a fun and full Wednesday. It's been a blur. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest, we know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $125 are on them. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K. And you'll get $125 when you wager $500 within your first 30 days. See what I mean? House money just for playing the races you were going to bet anyway. Check out ExpressBet.com for more information. And don't forget to sign up using promo code BYK. B-Y-K to get that $125 bonus. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions 3 straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com. Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only a low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
I could be wrong. I could be right.
We're back at the races, bottom of hour three on a fast-moving Wednesday, and circumstances surrounding racing in Northern Kentucky was fast-moving earlier this year, and today the first step toward a new Turfway Park and a new era in racing. One constant, though, no matter who has been on the masthead of Turfway Park in recent years, Chip Bock has been steady at the wheel, making it all happen, and always a pleasure to have Chip join us. And Chip, happy Turfway season.
Happy holiday meet. That's exactly right. We can't wait to get going today, that's for sure.
Well, and, you know, you had the greatest quote when the word came down, you know, after Churchill had floated New Latonia, and then all of a sudden things moved so quickly, and the next thing you knew, Churchill had the Twin Spire logo stamped again on Turfway Park. And you said, I woke up this morning and I'm working for Churchill. It was great.
It's kind of a dream come true, you know. It was unbelievable. You know, it all happened so quickly. I think within a matter of like 8 or 9 days, they went from the beginning to finishing the deal with Jack and Hard Rock. And like I said, that was true. I woke up that morning. I was like, "Holy cow, what has happened?" And these guys are working with such purpose for the horse racing industry and for building. The Kentucky circuit and reinforcing it in Northern Kentucky. It's just been a whirlwind 2 months.
And, you know, you were in such an awkward position because you were hopeful that the Jack people were going to follow through with the renovation promises, and it kept getting delayed, and it kept, you know, creating a uncertainty, and that doesn't bode well ever for a circuit and for people making their plans with their horses. So to have things, you know, firmed up and to have a not just a future assured, but what looks like potentially just, you know, the most successful potential incantation of Turfway Park in its history.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. I mean, it was difficult. You know, I was very optimistic for some of the ideas that were coming through the last couple of years. And honestly, you know, they may have had their reasons for not fulfilling them. I think other things got in their way, whatever it is. That's in the past now. What I was really concerned about were the horsemen that come here every single day, roll up their sleeves. They love what they do. They're passionate about racing. If you race at Turfway in the wintertime, for the purses we had, you know, you'd know, and these are very bright people who could be doing other things. The horsemen just, they just have such a passion for it. I'm so happy for them, along with, you know, most of our, a lot of our employees are 40-year plus employees who've just given their lives to Turfway as well. And for this to result as it did for them, I'm extremely grateful.
Explain to everybody, give them a thumbnail if they haven't been following along. Essentially, Churchill graciously advancing funds, you know, to make this, you know, this first partnership season, to instantly make it, you know, lucrative and attractive. And all you got to do is look at these first two cards, you know, today and tomorrow. If the money, you know, horses follow money, and the entry box spoke loudly.
Yeah. You know, that was the intent, right? The intent wasn't, no more hollow promises, no more, tomorrow's, you know, today is today. And, you know, they doubled in many respects our purses as an average purse on the day. Every purse was doubled immediately. You saw, you know, in the first 3 days, I think, our entries are average 11.5 horses a race, which is incredible for 3 days in a row. And they made their point. They're here. Like I said, they're very intentful on what they're doing with Turfway. They have a response. They know and they feel the responsibility for Kentucky racing and the circuit, and they know that Turfway Park is going to be able to help out, not only building a circuit where the trainers can stay year round, but also, you know, even they had the foresight to think of Turfway as a training ground during the summertime for their tracks, for the Kentucky track. So it's just great to be included in these plans and be part of what's going to be a great racing circuit.
And essentially the building as we know it, once the winter ends, the building will be raised.
This old gal is going down. Yeah, she's 60 years old, and I've warned my people she's not going to go down without a fight, so we'll see what happens in the next 4 months. But, yeah, she served us well, you know, for when she was built, and it's bittersweet because a lot of people have a lot of fond memories of this facility. But right after the meet's over with, they're going to knock it down and they're going to put in a state-of-the-art facility that also has the historical horse racing machines. And I've seen some of the concepts that they're contemplating already, and it is visionary. It is, and they will also be respectful of the history of old Latonia, the track in Latonia, Kentucky, as well as Turfway Park, as we tell the story of the 100-plus years of racing here in northern Kentucky.
Well, the recent history and kind of horsemen that have wintered at Turfway, they're going to be met. Essentially anybody that watches the racing at Ellis during the summer, it's a similar scenario where you've got, you know, some of the smaller outfits those that rely on winter months to survive, essentially when things are tough and challenging at Keeneland and at Churchill and Kentucky Downs. You know, Ellis summers and Turfway winters were, you know, a place for, you know, the smaller outfits, but they're going to be met with quite a onslaught of, you know, major horsemen that are leading horses now in Kentucky this winter, and you can see it right right from the get-go.
Yep, absolutely. You know, that's we improve our product. That's how we have to do it, right?
Yeah. There's no doubt. And, you know, there's going to be a mix. It's pretty funny that there's, you know, the bread and butter, the meat and potato, you know, nickel claimers, and non-winners of two lifetime for 15, you know, you just are part of the winter schedule. And then you see, $46,000 maiden special weights that stand, kind of a jewel on the crown.
They going from 18 to 46, pretty impressive. I'm still, you know, pinching myself regularly, which my staff has asked me to stop doing, by the way, but yes.
Chip Bach is with us from Turfway, and, mostly evening cards, and first post 6:15. Some highlights to hit that you want people to be aware of?
Well, you know, we're Wednesday through Friday right now, 6:15, we're the night racing. We like to think of ourselves as the big fish in the smaller pond. We will be racing during the day on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, and then also on 3:14, on March 14th, we'll have our Jeff Ruby Stakes back with our sixth stake card and our Derby prep, and, you know, we're just excited to get going tonight.
Outstanding. And Friday nights have been a big deal in the tri-state area, a great date night and, a bar
dollar
night.
Beers, dollar dogs. Yeah, it's been popular for 12 years. This Friday we have the Naked Karate Girls who are not naked. They're not girls, and I don't think they know karate, but that's the name of the band, and they're very popular. So we're looking forward to it.
Well, bands every Friday night. It was named by Cincinnati Magazine as one of the best date nights in Northern Kentucky and in the Cincinnati metropolitan area. You mentioned the Jeff Ruby, which is just a tremendous day. I came and spent several broadcast days at Turfway a couple of years ago. A lot of fun. My first opportunity to enjoy it. And, the wagering menu out there for everybody. Everything
we have
you expect.
Our pick fours are the takeout is as low as it can be. We're working with Churchill on their pick fives, and their 15% takeout. So we're really going after the handicapping public. We're really going to make our races, you know, if we continue to have huge field sizes and low takeout, I mean, I what else can a handicapper ask for?
Exactly. I mean, that's the formula. You know, before we go too, Chip, one thing I floated right when this news hit that I just wondered, and I'm sure you've had some meetings and there'll be more, but any potential for some integration of, you know, the Jeff Ruby and action down at Fairgrounds and, you know, some tie-ins, between the Churchill properties.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, this quickly for Churchill too. So, we weren't able to address strategically how we were going to complement our races, but in talking to Churchill Downs, you know, we'll start having some great 2-year-old stakes in December next year that feed into the road to the Derby, I should say, and then also to complement the other properties that are out there. So I'm not sure what that is yet, but the big minds at Churchill Downs are already thinking about that.
Well, and to have someone as experienced with the market and the facility and with your staff that has soldiered through some trying periods, everybody's got to be just so excited. And it should be a great final year of Turfway as we know it in advance of, what looks to be a bright future. Chip, best of luck. Hope to see you at some point over the winter.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Not at all. Turfway Park, everybody. And I can tell you, when I lived in Cincinnati, River Downs, and I can I can say that I went to Turfway when it was still Latonya, and I'm old enough to acknowledge that and go back to the early '80s before the change. But it's just terrific, and this is really going to be it's going to be difficult not to look at the Turfway cards and make it part of your betting action. It's
good,
no doubt. Chip, talk soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Steve.
Chip Bach, everybody. Let's take our last break of the morning. We'll get Skip. We'll get Seth Merrow in here quick and get a couple of plays from Seth. See what he's looking at today. Probably some Gulfstream. Maybe some Tampa. Seth's always good for some Tampa. He did write back and say he was available, right? Yes, he is. Seth Merrow next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Whether at home, at the track, or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor. Check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back at the races, about 10 minutes to close out what's been a busy and fast-moving Wednesday. Seth Merrow standing by, and the other day, I'm sitting watching all the races. I mentioned, I think on Monday, that having Capital OTB is a terrific resource, and they got the quad screen so that you can watch, wherever you races, the four venues that they're using at the time. And, you can, just a little easy to look up and augment what's going on your ADW pages. And Seth was doing his, his previews and reviews and giving out ideas and opinions. And it sounded like you weren't going to make it to the quarter pole. I was going to get in the car and drive down to Albany and help you. I was concerned.
It's nice to get those texts during the show that, hey, you sound horrible. which I realized. And I came back. I was in Arkansas last week, and I came back, and I'm still just fighting off the end of it, hopefully. But I felt fine, but it happens to me. I get this congestion, and you're kind of on the verge of laryngitis. But until I actually go in and start the show, I'm not sure how bad it is. And Saturday and Sunday, I kind of started okay. And then as the day, when you got to sit there and talk for 15 minutes at a pop, it starts to, wear on the voice normally. And so on a day like that, and I probably Saturday, I probably did go about three segments too long. It was at the end, it was probably unpleasant to listen to. So Sunday, I had a similar situation. I cut out a couple hours early on Sunday, but as I say, I'm still kind of fighting it off, but it is much, much better than it was on the weekend.
Yeah, you were definitely stumbling to the finish line. I was rumbling, bumbling, stumbling there. And I felt terrible. I literally was going to volunteer to come down, and then you said I'm calling it quits, and I thought, okay, well, I guess I'm not going to come down.
Yeah, no, so. I was near the end anyway, and it just I wrapped up a little bit early on Saturday, much early on Sunday. It was a good thing I wrapped it up early anyway. I don't know whether I would have been able to get home. Went up the Northway at about 35 miles an hour on Sunday.
That's a good point. The weather started to roll and get unpleasant. How was Thanksgiving overall, though?
Very good. Had a great time down at my sister's in Arkansas. So my three nephews, and they're all their kids, and got a chance to see all of them and visit, and was in my sister's VRBO, the lodge, which is right down the hill from her house, which is kind of a little vacation in and of itself. Hot tub right outside my bedroom, and so I sat in the hot tub every night and just kind of relaxed and stepped away from racing a little bit. Well, you had to look, obviously, on a Thanksgiving week, but relaxed, ate some turkey, my favorite meal to begin with. Sister makes a great apple pie, so it was knocked it out of the park.
One of the funny things about Seth loving turkey dinner is that it took him, 45 years to go to Winslow's in the area, which has been making Thanksgiving dinner, night after night, and we finally got you to Winslow's.
Yeah, you told me about it 2 or 3 years ago. I was unfamiliar with it until you told me. And then after you told me, I probably heard from 5 other people. And then, yeah, it was probably about a year ago I eventually made my first trip to Winslow's, and I'm not that picky. I'll go to a diner and eat a hot turkey sandwich and like it. But you go to Winslow's, that's the grand slam, because it's real turkey. It's cut off, and, you get a little dark meat, a little white meat. Yeah, they nail it. There's no question about it.
Well, and mentioning Tina and I are just getting to the remnants here, and I made soup, and so there's probably at least one more batch of. I can probably have a little soup, turkey soup for lunch, and then tonight we'll probably wrap it up. But we literally have consumed a 20-pound turkey, and we have consumed everything but the gobble.
That's what Thanksgiving is all about. How'd you do all that without any water?
You have no idea what I went through. I literally was Grizzly Adams, and in the basement. And actually, the kids loved it. I mean, Zach and Andrea and Spencer, and we had Spencer and his roommate have taken on a third roommate in Brooklyn, a French girl, Anya, who was delightful. And so she came, she got her first Thanksgiving experience. But I'm down in the basement, and who actually the guys that are doing the work that are terrific, Casey and Derek, and when they came to see what I had set up, they were like, wow, this is like a church kitchen, like you know, with the church rec room, you know, and with the I had the stove and the fridge now down in the basement, and it worked out. I kept bringing buckets of water and using it. You know, I'd have a hot water for, you know, washing up a little bit. You know, your hands, you know, you start shoving stuff in the cavity of a turkey. You get a little. You know, it's a little messy. So I'm washing my hands in a bucket. I mean, I'm telling you, I felt like a prairie woman.
Jeremiah Johnson. That's a better analogy.
There you go. There you go. Too funny. And I'll ask you, because I've been asking everybody what your favorite side dish. Shug went with sweet potatoes, but then he quickly said, "But my favorite's pumpkin pie."
Oh man, I'm not a pumpkin pie person. I am not a pumpkin pie. I'm apple. I'm all about the apple, but I'm not big on pumpkin. But stuffing counts as a side, right?
Yeah, of course.
How is that not everybody's favorite?
That's what Tina would answer. Tina prefers it to the turkey.
Oh, well, it's a close second for me. I like the turkey, but good, and it's got to be good stuffing. Every once in a while you go into a restaurant and you get soggy stuffing or just bad stuffing, but good stuffing is A+.
Well, my stuffing, Tina, I think it's the quality that I possess that she admires the most, my ability to make stuffing. It's not, in a husband, it you wouldn't think it would be in the top 10. If this was Family Feud, it wouldn't make everybody's top, you know, 5 or 6. The thing you like about your husband best, stuffing making! Bing! we're in trouble. We only got 2 or 3 minutes. You must have some plays for today.
I do not have any plays. I heard you.
Oh, come on!
No, there was no New York today, and I wasn't on TV today, so I was kind of late. I usually do stuff last night. I didn't get stuff done last night.
Unbelievable.
You mentioned. The Capital OTB contest. I do want to just push that a little bit.
Go ahead.
This year, Capital OTB stopped doing their own contests and got in with some of the other OTBs, and they now are signed up with this Tourney Bets organization. And you can go in through Capital OTB, and you're just kind of facing off against OTB folks in New York State. And so the 7th, there's an NHC seat up for grabs, and it's a $50 buy-in. So people should do, and normally it's just kind of a value added thing for OTB customers. You can play contests, and they're typically every weekend, and a lot of them are free during the year. So people should check that out. But there is an NHC seat up for grabs this weekend.
Well, both days. There's one Saturday and one Sunday. At least on the schedule, there is on the.
I don't know. I didn't look at the calendar. But if you have it in front of you, I'm sure you're right.
I know
there's one coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, this is on at least at the NTRA calendar website. There was one for both, and actually, Capital OTB also taking part in Toys for Tots. If you're going to go to the clubhouse racebook, and I'm just checking. There's the $150 bankroll. What day is that, Seth? There's a bankroll challenge. That's a pick five bankroll. I'm trying to find the contest officially on the website, but
the NAC?
Yeah.
That may just be listed as tourney bets somewhere on there.
Wow.
They may not have parsed it out.
All right.
But if you go to the website, you can click on the tourney. There's a tourney bets link. You click on that because I'm looking at it. There's a whole calendar that lists the contests
for
the rest of the month.
Oh, neat.
And I say, a lot of them are free.
That's great. That's good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Meanwhile, we will look forward to the last couple of weeks of the year, and we'll start to do our year-end reviews.
Yeah, it was quite a year. I mean, top to bottom, off track and on. And with the weekend coming up, and I heard you're going out to the 2-year-old races. I there's still some potential out there. So some eclipse potential, certainly, with maximum security this weekend. So,
3 weeks left, but still a lot of good racing.
No doubt. Seth Merrow, everybody, CapitalOTV.com and Equidaily.com. And Seth Merrow 2 on your Twitter machine. Feel better. Get healthy. We'll talk next week.
Thanks. Take it easy.
Seth Merrow, everybody. Chip Bock joined us just now from Turfway opening night, 6:15 tonight. Tremendous card. The first 3 days looked super. And, of course, Pete Fornatel was with us. We had a really good conversation with Mike Stidham, celebrating his 2,000 career wins, already 5 into his 3,000 march. And Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale. Good luck today if you're playing. Talk to you tomorrow.